came, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any way or honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And this covers a whole multitude of things. All of the do's and don'ts and touching this and not touching that and eating this, not eating that is not going to keep people from sinning. It's not going to do away with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those things are only handled through conversion and the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus Christ within us. So the key thing is this shows us a way in which people can lose their reward by getting into things and false doctrines that they shouldn't be getting into. Now, let's go to the little teeny epistle of 2 John. Just about a page before the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And since this is so short, I'm going to read the whole thing. And we'll go through it. Because this also tells us something very important on how we can receive, as he says here in 2 John, the full reward rather than losing part of it. Okay? The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwells in us and which shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Now, those may sound like kind of flowery words, but the more that I see this end-time Babylonianism taking over through the New Age, this and that and the other thing, the more I realize how important that the name of Jesus Christ is. And I still keep hearkening back to the series we did on the New Age Catholic Church and how that Malachi Martin wrote one chapter there, the abolishment of Christ in the world. And it's happening just exactly as he said, though he was a Catholic. I mean, if a Catholic can see it and know it, how bad has it got to be? And he said it would come through these ancient, mysterious things that were in the past. And that's exactly what is happening. And they're expunging the name of Christ, Jesus Christ. Notice it is from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Because there are many people using the name of Jesus. There are many people using the name of Father. But there are not many people who will say that Jesus is Lord. That's a whole lot more. You know, when we were young and growing up, there were more people who believed in Jesus, so we didn't think this was any phenomenal thing. But now I can see how important this is. Okay, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers, now see the contrast again. The deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And we find that more and more and more, not only just in these Eastern Oriental type of religions, but even within Christianity. He said, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. Notice verse 8, key verse. This is the main one. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have worked or wrought or have done in Christ. but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? We receive a full reward, not part of it. See, because I'm sure there are some who would build with wood that maybe not all of the wood would be burned up in a trial. And with the hay, maybe there might be a little bit of hay that was left over on the fringes, so there might be a little bit of reward left. I don't know too much about stubble, because stubble pretty well is consumed real quickly. Okay? But the key I want to hit here is that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. It doesn't matter how spiritual they sound. It does not matter how eloquent they may be. They don't have God. Let's ask the ultimate question. Does Satan, Lucifer, have God? No. Can he be eloquent? Yes. See? So sometimes, you know, we just need to ask the most basic question we could. He that abides not in the doctrine of Christ, or he rather that is abiding in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you to speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Comment was made, well, this is where different groups have to go forward, and we have to go forward the best that we can. But it's also a situation that unless we see, it's one thing to say, okay, I have an open mind and I'm willing to learn. That's fine. But there can be people who have open minds and willing to learn, but accept error and false things too, see. So that's not the only thing. On the other hand, you can't go to the other extreme and say that you know everything and there's nothing new that you can learn and nobody else can teach me anything, see. Those are the two extremes. So that's why it's so important. What did he emphasize here? What did he say? He that is abiding in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, under those circumstances, what is the promise of Christ concerning things we need to know? The Holy Spirit will reveal all things to you. Okay? How's the Holy Spirit going to do it? Because we're smart? No, but because of the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. That's how it's done. Does it mean that we just sit and wait and let it come as a funnel? No. God wants us to study. God wants us to think. But God wants us to think correctly. And so that we can come to an understanding. I think some of the things we've suffered through, God has blessed us with grace and with understanding and with knowledge. And by saying that, that's not saying, oh, well, we're better than anybody else, because that isn't true. That's just not true. That just where we may happen to be at any particular time does not necessarily equate where anyone else may happen to be at any particular time, too.
Well, this may come out wrong.
That's right. The comment was made, and it was a good comment made in the right context. Not only do we want to attain to the resurrection, but we also want the reward. And the question is, why should you be willing to settle for wood, hay, and stubble? Why not shoot for the gold and the silver and the precious stone? Why not? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Because you're desiring the things, as Paul said, that are more excellent. You see. And that's what we need to strive toward. You know, let's go back to Hebrews. Let's just add to that. We'll sort of take a little diversion here, because obviously I'm not going to finish this today. And since there are a few missing, we'd be glad to have them here when I do finish it, because I think it'll be important. Now, let's come to Hebrews, the fifth chapter. And it's talking about Jesus Christ and all the things that he went through, and is our high priest, chapter 4, the right hand of God, that we can come to at any time, and that he understands. And boy, does he understand, because he had to bear the law of sin and death within him, and he was perfectly righteous. Don't you think he understands every temptation? Huh? Don't you think he understands every pull of the flesh? How could he be our Savior if he didn't have that, see? He could not be. All right, so then he comes down here to verse 11 of chapter 5, and he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." So here is a choice by circumstance. Here is a choice that was exercised by these people. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Question, were they letting things slack and slide to where they weren't growing in grace and knowledge? Yes, because he says you should have been teachers. But now you've got to have someone come back and teach you the very first principle of the oracles of God. What did Jesus say to the, I'll phrase it this way for this sake, to the church era of Ephesus? You have lost your first love. Now what should our first love be? The love of God, correct? If you lose your first love and the love of God, that's why he says you better repent or I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. If you've lost that, would you become someone who should have been a teacher, but now had the very basic need to start with milk again? Yes. Yes, so we have it right here, see. Okay. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You know, and it is true. People can go along if they don't study, if they don't pray. Now, let's just analyze a couple of things here. Okay. We came out of a church where we were ordered to study an hour a day and pray an hour a day, correct? And if you couldn't do it, set the alarm, set a clock, go do it by the clock, remember? Okay. Now, we can see the fallacy in that because you can't legislate attitude and righteousness, you see. But question, if a person did that, is he better off before God than someone who didn't pray and didn't study, but hardly just a little bit? The answer, yes, he's better off. See? He is better off. But what about the person then who is motivated by putting God the Father and Christ first, who love God, who willingly pray every day from the heart, and who willingly study every day from the heart, not by an alarm, then, you see, is their attitude going to be more receptive then for learning and growing in grace and knowledge? The answer is obviously yes, because it's a whole different attitude and frame of mind, so we have the three. We have the sluggards, we have the disciplinarians, and we have the volunteers. And what is it that God wants? He wants a willing heart. He wants a willing mind. That's what God wants. Okay? So he says, verse 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now there you have the difference between the rewards laid out a little differently here than in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. You see. Now, just hold your place and let's go back to 1 Chronicles. I think it's either 28 or 29. We'll put this on pause and go there. Okay, it's 1 Chronicles 28. And it's also 29. Okay, now, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 28, which was the last sermonette I gave before I was ordained as a minister. I gave one. It was during the days of unleavened bread in Portland. Now, what is the most important thing that God is looking to? What is it that God wants most of all? Now, the Jews have it that God wants law upon law upon law upon law ad infinitum to control your breathing, your sneezing, your snoring, your waking, your sitting, your standing, all of your time, see? No, that is not what God wants. The most important thing that God wants is right here in verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, this is when he was being given the charge to build the temple. This is when he was coronated as king. Know you, the God of your father. And how do we know him? 1 John 2:4. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says that he knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. Did Solomon end up that way? Yes, he did. And what was the indictment that God gave to Solomon? That his heart was turned from God. So he says, know the God of your father and serve him. How? With a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And that is the only way that you're going to be able to have rewards of gold and silver and precious stones. A willing mind. God doesn't want someone he has to make do something. God can command it. He can make people do it, but does he have pleasure in it? No, God doesn't have pleasure in it. You know, it's just like with our children. We can make our children do certain things, but oh, how much nicer it is when they willingly do it. See, same way with God. And how do you feel toward your children when they willingly do something? You want to what? Reward them with something that they don't know or expect that is coming, right? It's not that they earn it and they expect so much because they've done so much. It is that they have a willing attitude, right? And a willing mind, so therefore that creates joy for them and joy for you, and you want to give them something, right? Yes. Okay, so this is what David was telling. And did David know? Yeah, David learned, as we covered one time here, just about the reward of the wicked and what happened to David when he was rewarded for his situation with Bathsheba. Covered that last time. So he knew. Serve him with a perfect heart, and that is a sincere heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. You can tie in a couple scriptures there. Genesis 6:5 and Genesis 8:21-23, about that the imagination of the heart is evil continually. He understands it. Searches all hearts. This is what the reward then we're going to see is going to be based upon. How is your heart before God? That's how it's going to be. And how is your heart set toward God? And who sets it? You do by your own choice, you see. That's how it is. Okay? For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Loss of reward, right? Yes. There it is right there. Take heed now. See? whatever, there's always this, the challenge to inspire you to really seek the highest and the best and to do what God wants, then there always, God's word always comes with a warning. See, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Okay? Now, let's go back to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And let's see some of the things that we're going to find concerning choice and also concerning works and concerning the things that are done with what we are given. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13. We'll go back and we'll look at some of these other things here in just a minute. Verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, it's partly by their own choice. It's partly by whom they serve. They're seeing, but they see not. They hear, but they don't understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is grown gross. I think we're living in the same age today, right? Gross. It's reflected in, I think the epitome of it is reflected in the attitude toward AIDS more than anything else. The simple solution of God would be to teach the society, howbeit you're not going to eliminate it altogether, but you can keep it down to a very low proportion of the society then, to teach all people as they're growing up that there should be no sexual activity outside of marriage, period. Now, we know that's a hard standard for a lot of people to try and keep. However, a greater majority of them would be doing that if it were taught. But no, they want to do everything else other than teach that. Give them all kinds of birth control things. Perfect the medicine. Give condoms to everybody. Find a cure for AIDS, but let us never stop our sexual activity is the way that they have. And what does this do? This closes the ears, closes the eyes, so they have no understanding. And they have grown wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Beware, lest at any time, or it doesn't say beware, rather, correction. It says they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. So there it's talking about a spiritual healing. See, that's why it's not the only day of salvation today. If it were, God is losing hands down, you know that. But, verse 16, here's part of the reward today. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. So there's a tremendous reward and blessing for us right here, right now. Today. Now, since this appears to be a natural place to take to, no, let's go on to the next one. Let's go to, let's look at some of these parables here. And let's see what it is that happens. And sometimes these things take place, most of the time they take place because of our effort, sometimes because of our weaknesses. we are not able to do certain things. So let's see what we have here. Let's go on with verse 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. So Satan is right there. Satan hates Christ. Satan hates God. And he's going to do everything he can to keep people from receiving it. And so God is allowing that for the time being. Okay? This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in a stony place, the same as he that hears the word, and anon, or that is by and by, with joy receives it. But yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, it doesn't say that he's lost, but you see, he's lost his reward. He's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So we're to bring forth fruit. But he that received the seed into the good earth is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. So there are some choices and determinations that we have to make. And I think we're living in an age now where it's more like in the thorns. The cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke it out. You know, when it's all easy going, it's easy to go ahead and let those things happen. Let's just close with one thing concerning that, which really happened to strike home in my mind the other day. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, because I was reading something where someone, and he was saying it rightly. He was saying to the Protestants, a lot of these so-called good Protestants are expecting the rapture so that they're not going to have to go through the evil. Okay? It sounds a little bit like those who are going to a place of safety, so they won't have to go through the evil, so therefore they don't have to contend with it because they know they're going to go there, all right? Now, and this person was writing and saying, you know, they have their eye on the wrong thing. And I got to thinking about here in verse 34 of Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 34, okay? Because there aren't 34 chapters in Luke. Okay, but this is 34th verse of Luke 21. And take heed to yourselves. Now, that would make an interesting study. If you don't know what to study sometime, just get out your handy-dandy concordance and look up everywhere where it says, take heed, watch out, beware, okay? Take heed to the events that are taking place. That isn't what he said, is it? He said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, or that is, over-concerned with high living and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always. I'm going to skip the next clause. That you may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Well, I left out some of it there, didn't I? Because we have been told, and there's even a magazine that's called Watch, put out by a Church of God. And they are to watch what? World events. True, you're to look at world events, but what is the most important thing to watch? Your own spiritual condition. because world events aren't going to save you or lose you. Your own conduct before God, your own spirituality before God, your own spiritual life is going to make it or break it for you. Now let me read the whole verse. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Do you think that you can watch world events and really understand them so you can escape them because now you'll know when to go to a place of safety or be raptured off? No, because God is going to make the selection, so you've got to watch yourself. See, take heed unto yourselves, okay, that that day come not come upon you unawares. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll continue next time on the rewards of God.